keys to Joshua chapter 24. Appreciate that special.
Sometimes we got ideas in our minds about what we need, and all we really need is Jesus. He is all that we need. Joshua chapter 24. Man, it's been a great week. Did you guys enjoy the revival services? A couple of you were very gracious and encouraging throughout the week. Some of you told me that it was really nice to hear some good preaching for once. That was encouraging. I enjoyed it too. It was great. I love Brother Matt. The Lord has truly gifted him as an evangelist. Amen. And just challenged by the Word of God. I had a great time with Matt too, just fellowshipping and enjoying that time together. And I pray that God has answered our prayer all along, that you really have been revived. I pray that we have humbled ourselves before God. I pray that we've made a commitment to really seek His face, and that we're praying more and studying His Word more, and that we've put away some sin that's in our life, that we've turned from our wicked ways, and that God has done a real work of revival in our hearts. I pray that's happened. Amen. I got to be honest with you, some of you don't look real revived this morning. It's interesting because God has made us with these three parts. We've got our mind, our body, and our spirit, and those things are linked together, aren't they? Because what you think in your mind will affect what you do with your body, will affect what happens spiritually, right? And the opposite's true too. It's an amazing thing because spiritually I've been revived this week. Man, spiritually my spirit is lifted up, it's stirred up, it's on fire, but the more it seems my spirit's stirred up, the weaker my body grows. Anybody else feel that way? I mean, I'm tired. I really work hard this week, but I'm just tired. And some of you look as tired as I feel. And so I don't intend to preach a long time this morning, but I want to challenge you because we've spent a lot of time talking about revival, and then we spent our time in our revival week, but here's my fear, and I've seen this so many times in our churches. We get geared up, we look forward to, we build up to this big revival week, and then it's over, and it's over. And it's so easy just to slip back into the same old, and just get right back into the status quo. But my prayer is that God has given us a revival that will last. And I told you, revival is not going to be measured in how good our services were. It's going to be measured in how well we serve the Lord in the months and years to come. You see, God's used revivals in my life. He has brought me to places through that special time of emphasis and spending night after night in God's house. He's changed my life through revival services. It was after a revival service, as a matter of fact, Brother Rick Adams was preaching that service. It was after that service on my way home, I was under conviction. But God used that revival service and I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been saved, but I'd never just given everything to the Lord. And I didn't know what God wanted me to do. I had no idea what His plan was for my life. And I'll tell you, even after all these years, I still kind of feel that way. I still don't know what He's going to do with me. But I made a decision that night because of revival. I was going to do whatever He wanted me to do. Whatever You want, Lord, I'm Yours. And I think every believer needs to come to that place, make that decision. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 31. Would you stand with me this evening? I mean this morning. What day is it? Joshua 24 and verse 31. The Bible says, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that He had done for Israel." Father in heaven, thank You for this great week of revival. We've enjoyed the fellowship. We've enjoyed the preaching and the conviction and the challenge from Your Word. And I pray that we've been changed this week. And Lord, as we move past revival, I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't die. I pray we wouldn't get back to the status quo. I pray that we wouldn't just go back to the way we were before. But God, You have made a real change in our life, that we would have a renewed vigor and a new passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would faithfully serve You, and that You would just keep that fire going, Lord, and that You would help it to spread. Lord, that we would see many come to Christ many serving you in the church, Lord. I just pray that we would be real disciples. Please forgive our sin and help us. Lord, bless your word now, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I just want to share with you a few truths that I see in this passage of Scripture. Now, you'll remember a while back, we spent some time going through the book of Joshua. Some of you were here for that, and you'll remember on Sunday nights, we went all the way through. But Joshua was a great man of God, and he started out as a servant to Moses and was a faithful servant of God, became a great military leader. And when Moses' time was done, he became the leader of the people. He was the one that they looked to when it was time to cross on over into Jordan and led them through that promised land and saw many great victories. And Joshua was a man of great courage, of great faith, and God used him in a great way. And look at the impact that he had. Israel. Well, who's that? It's all the people. It's the entire nation. It's all the tribes. It's everybody from the heads of the families on down. The Bible says that after Joshua's days, all Israel served the Lord. And it wasn't just while Joshua lived, it was after he lived. And not just Joshua, but all the other leaders that were there at that time, the nation of Israel served the Lord all those days after Joshua and all the days that the elders were after Joshua. And I just want you to see this. Had Brother Matt come in, and God used him in a great day, in a great way, and he preached great messages, and we were challenged, we were convicted, and responded to the Word of God. But now the evangelist is gone. You know, there came a day when Joshua was gone, and the people had to make a decision. Are we going to keep serving the Lord, or are we going to, you know, Joshua's not here anymore, so let's just do our own thing. No, he had an impact on them that lasted beyond his time there. And so we want to have that. Notice with me, first of all, the inspiration of leadership. The inspiration of leadership. All the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, Joshua's courageous faithfulness to God inspired other leaders and the people to serve the Lord. Now, God has always used leaders with his people. He's always raised up men to lead his people. We see how God raised up Abraham, and God chose him, and God blessed him. And when God called Abraham, Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness, and God used Abraham to lead many people in following the Lord. We think about Moses. When God called out Moses, he said, I can't talk right, I can't do anything, but God raised him up and used him to lead the millions of Jews out of Egypt. And for years he led them, and he faithfully served God. And Moses wasn't a perfect man, but Moses was closer to God and talked with God face to face, unlike any other person. And God used him in a great way. Then we see God raise up Joshua. I mean, you fast forward to the New Testament, and God was always raising people up to lead. You see how God raised up his apostles. You see how God used Peter and James and John in the church to lead the people. You see how he called out the Apostle Paul and how he used him to lead. And God has always done that. He's always raised up people. I want you to consider something with me, though. I believe that God, to this day, uses men in his churches. He sets aside men and calls them to be pastors to lead his people. Amen. But I want you to know something about a pastor. I want to be somebody that's worth you following. I want to be somebody who is striving to live for the Lord. But here's what it really boils down to. The Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. See, it's not really about following your pastor. It's about your pastor helping you to follow Jesus. And that's what I want you to see with Joshua. Joshua was a great leader because Joshua was a great follower. You see, he started out as a servant to Moses. He was Moses' minister, and he was a humble man, and he was a servant, and he did whatever Moses needed him to do. And because he served so faithfully, because he humbly served and has had a servant's heart, God was able to raise him up and use him to lead others. Joshua became to a place, he saw how close Moses was to God, and Joshua came to a place where he communed with the Lord, and God spoke to him, and God worked through him, and he got to a place where he was so close to God that God used him to lead others to be close to God. And that's what I want. I want to be so close to the Lord that I just help other people get close to the Lord. Amen. You know what, dads, that ought to be what you want to be. That would be a dad that gets so close to the Lord. Because I'm so close to God, my kids get close to God. Amen. That's the way moms ought to want to be, and grandmas and grandpas, and all of you young people. It's the way you ought to be. You ought to be want to be so close to God that your friends get close to God. You see, we all have a sphere of influence. We all are influencing somebody. And there's an inspiration of leadership. God raises up leaders that inspire people to get closer to the Lord. But I want you to get something here. It's not really about Joshua at all. You see, Joshua is a picture for us of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a type of Christ. You know, the name Joshua is just the Hebrew version of the name Jesus. God raised Joshua up to lead his people and to save them from their enemies. Joshua was a captain of the armies of Israel. You know who Jesus is? He's the captain of the armies of the Lord of hosts. You think about Joshua and how God used him. God gave Joshua ability. The Bible says that Joshua spake to the Lord in the day, delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves of their enemies. I mean, Joshua had great ability that God had given him. What a picture of the one who would come to save all people. Because Jesus stood up on the ship and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind stopped and the waves ceased. Joshua is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua was faithful to finish the work that God gave him to do. In Joshua 11:15, the Bible says, "As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses." He was faithful to finish the work that God gave him to do. Let me tell you something, friend. The Lord Jesus Christ was faithful to finish the work that God gave him to do. Amen. He prayed before he ever went to Calvary. "I finished the work that you've sent me to do. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And when he died for us on Calvary, he cried out, "It is finished." 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." You see, we think about the inspiration of leadership, and I want to be the right kind of leader that God wants me to be. I've had great men in my life who have influenced me and helped me. I've had great mentors, and I've had great Christians who love the Lord, who have helped me. But it wasn't about them. It was never about them. It was always about Jesus. You see, ultimately, friend, it's not about just following your pastor. It's about following Jesus. You see, I've seen this a lot. You start out with youth ministry, and I can tell you how many times I've seen young people. They love their youth pastor. They love their youth minister. They love their Sunday school teacher. They love their Wednesday night. And that's good. But if they just become obsessed with that person instead of Jesus, it's not going to last. Amen. You know how many times I've seen it? I mean, they get fixated on this person, and that person's good, and that person loves them, and that person helps them, and it's great. But we've got to learn to it not be about the person. It's about Jesus. Follow me as I follow Christ. And we need to have those kind of leaders in our life that help us get closer to Jesus. And we need to be that kind of leader that helps others get close to Jesus. But Israel was faithful to God and served the Lord because of Joshua's leadership. And it wasn't just Joshua. Joshua had an influence on the other elders, the other leaders of the tribes. Because of Joshua's faithfulness to God, they were faithful to God. And they led their tribes to be faithful to God. And so when Joshua was gone, the people kept serving the Lord. Revival's over. You going to keep serving the Lord? Because if I'm doing my job and if Brother Matt did his job, then you're committed not to following the church or the pastor, but you're committed to following Christ. And he's not going anywhere. You see, the inspiration of leadership. Also, would you notice the motivation of fellowship? The motivation of fellowship. The Bible just says Israel served the Lord. It wasn't just Joshua that served the Lord. It wasn't just the elders that served the Lord. It was Israel. Let's bring it down to us. It wasn't just the pastor serving the Lord. It wasn't just the evangelist serving the Lord. It wasn't just the Sunday school teacher serving the Lord or the Wednesday night discipleship teachers. It was the whole church serving the Lord. You know, that's where we need to get to. We are the body of Christ, and I don't know about you, I want every part of my body to work right. Amen? Some of you had parts of your body not work right, and it's terrible. Isn't it crazy? I mean, and how it affects everything else? You hurt your toe. And you deal with that toe for just a few days, and before you know it, your whole back and everything else is messed up. Amen. What's that all about? It's my toe that's messed up. But pretty soon, my back's all out of whack, and my back's hurting. And it just affects every other part. You know the same thing's true in the body of Christ? Right. Any one of us. And you may not think you matter. I want you to know something, friend. You matter. Jesus purchased each and every one of us with his precious blood. Amen. Any one of us isn't where we're supposed to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. It affects the whole body. Amen. The motivation of fellowship, they were serving together. Matthew 9:37-38, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And there's a great work to be done, and we need everybody to be working. 1 Corinthians 3:9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." We're the body of Christ. We're the building of Christ. We are to do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ together with God. We don't have to do this work alone. The Holy Spirit of God is there to give us power and help us. How about Philippians 1:27? "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Listen, friend, this revival was intended to bring us to a place where we would be right with God, that our conversation would become godliness. Amen. What's their conversation? It's our lifestyle. Amen. It's our behavior. It's how we live day by day. It's not how we look and act in the church. It's how we are out there every day. Amen. And the revival service was intended to bring us to a place where our behavior matches the gospel. Amen. That we live in a way that matches up with what Christ has done in our lives. And if that's happened, then people will hear of our affairs. Amen. They'll hear about how we're living. Amen. They'll hear that there's something going on down there at Calvary. And I love what Brother Matt said. He stopped down here at Napa. You remember that story? To get some Napa know-how. He said, I'm here in town preaching a revival. Oh, you must be over at Calvary. Man, that thrills my heart. Because you know what? I didn't talk to the people at Napa. But somebody did. That poor fella down there, he's just been worn out by some of you guys. Amen. Praise God. You have any idea how much it thrills my soul when I pull through the drive-thru in Roland? And I say, "Hey, did you get one of these?" They're like, "Oh yeah, I got three of them." Amen. Praise God. Amen. By the way, when you ask somebody, "Hey, did you get one of these?" And they say, "Yeah." You say, "Did you read it?" And if they say, "Yeah, I read it," then you say, "Did you respond to it?" Man, I love it. And that's what this is about. It's about us working together. A couple of weeks ago, we had a big church-wide outreach. There were over 30 adults here and a whole bunch of little kids. And we went out, knocked on doors, and made phone calls and wrote letters and all that stuff. It was awesome. People drove by, thought it was the first night of revival. Parking lot was full. I said, "Yeah, it looks like that every outreach night." No, I didn't really. I didn't really say that. I wish it looked like that every outreach night. It's an amazing thing happened when you got a whole bunch of people together, working together, striving together. We were able to reach more people with the gospel. I'm not sure you get the concept. Let me share it with you one more time. The more people that are working together, the more work we can get done. Israel, serve the Lord. We got to be in a place, friends, where the whole church is standing fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that's where we get to, because we've been inspired by our leadership. Not the pastor, not the evangelist, but Jesus. Right. He's my leader. He's the one I'm following. Because I'm following Jesus, I want to live for Him. I want to work for Him. I want to get together with my other brothers and sisters in Christ, and I want to do something for the kingdom of God. Say, I don't know what to do. Go get your donkey. God's got something for all of us. Ephesians 4 says a lot about this. In Ephesians 4, the Bible tells us that God gave spiritual leaders to the churches. In the beginning, it was apostles and prophets, but they were for a specific time, for a specific purpose, but then He also gave evangelists and pastors and teachers. You guys didn't know it, but your pastor is a gift from God. Yeah, I get gifts I don't like sometimes too. But those leaders were given to the church for a purpose, for the perfecting of the saints. You see, God gave spiritual leaders like Joshua and those other elders to help the people of Israel grow up in spiritual maturity. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And Joshua and the other elders had done a great job because the whole nation was serving the Lord. That's hard for me to wrap my mind around, but that's what God said. Israel, serve the Lord. It didn't mean nobody ever made a mistake or messed up or sinned or didn't. No, it means that as a whole, the whole group was serving God. And that's where we need to be in the church. He goes on to say in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know how the church grows? That edify means to be built up. The church grows itself. I've heard a lot of testimony and seen a lot of church growth, and I've seen people give credit to a man, a pastor, whatever, and certainly God uses spiritual leaders. I know that. But the reason God used those men and there's great results is because He didn't just do the work Himself. He taught the church to do the work.
Right.
And all the parts working together grow. And when you and I will get out and be a witness for Jesus Christ, and when you're handing out those gospel tracts and you're witnessing to your friends at work or at school, and you're trying to be a witness with your life and your mouth, and people come and they hear the preaching and they respond to the Holy Spirit's leadership in their heart, and they get saved and they get baptized, and then they become discipled and they're growing, and then they get out and bring others.
Right, man.
And the church grows itself because we're working together. I want to tell you something, friends. It thrills my soul to be able to work together with God's people to grow His church. Man, it's awesome. It's awesome to have this fellowship. It's awesome to, I love it. Every once in a while, you guys will be really into the singing. Man, it thrills my heart. Sometimes our song service can be like a time of meditation. But sometimes there's something else going on. Sometimes you're paying attention to what you're singing, and words are coming out of your mouth and joy is showing in your eyes. You know how much I love that? Man, it thrills my soul when God's people are opening their mouths and singing praise to God. It's a joy to worship Him together. And it's a joy to see the fellowship and see people laughing and talking and having a good time. It's a joy to see people go out and come back in talking about how they got to talk to somebody at their work. Or when somebody shows up and says, this is my friend from work, or this is my cousin or my aunt or my uncle or my niece or my nephew. This is somebody I invited and they came. Man, that thrills my soul. Working together, the motivation of fellowship. So you see the inspiration of leadership, the motivation of fellowship, and the consideration of his workmanship. It says, all Israel, served the Lord with all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. They were inspired by Joshua, and they were motivated by others to keep going. But I want you to know what had a great impact on them was the consideration of his workmanship. They knew about the works of God. They considered what God had done for them, and it kept them serving the Lord. Do you know what God has done for you? Amen. Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? I mean, you think about what God's done, the works of God. Well, it starts with the creation of the whole universe. He's the one that's given us life. But it's not just that, man. He's given me my life. He's given me my family. He's put me in the ministry. He saved my wretched soul. He's forgiven all my sin. And when I fail, He forgives me again. He loves me when I'm unlovable. Remember the work of the Lord. When you know, it says all the people that knew, when you personally know what God has done for you biblically, what God has done historically, and what God has done for you personally, it'll keep you serving. Remember when the Israelites crossed over Jordan? God had every tribe get a stone from the middle of the river. They took it and they built an altar. And they set it up. And Joshua told the people, he said, there's a reason for this. Because one of these days your kids are going to come through and they're going to go, what are these stones stacked up here for? What's this all about? He said, so you'll know what God has done. You know, it's vital for us to teach the next generation what God has done. Amen. We're one generation away from this church dying. Amen. And in the next generation, we'll be one generation away from this church dying. Amen. Since Jesus started his churches, it's always just been one generation away from dying. And it always will be till the Lord comes again. It's absolutely essential that we know the truth, that we live the truth, and we pass on the truth. Amen. These men were faithful to God, and those that outlived them, the Joshua and the elders, they served the Lord all the days of those elders because they knew what God had done. But I want you to look at something with me before we close. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, look down at verse 6. The Bible says in Judges 2 and verse 6, and when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. What happened? And all the people that outlived Joshua, the elders, they served the Lord. As long as those elders lived, they served the Lord. But when that generation was gone, so was their faithfulness to God. They didn't pass the baton. Friends, we've got to pass the baton. I've told you about my exploits as a track runner. You guys seem to enjoy those stories a lot. Some of you don't pay attention, though. I've told those before, and Brother Matt was under the impression I was a good track runner. You guys remember his story about Jimmy? Funny thing about running that relay race, you can't pass the baton unless you have the baton. How many of you want your kids to love and live for Jesus? I mean, with all your heart, you want to see your kid. How many of you want your grandkids to love and live for Jesus? You can wish for that, you can hope for that, you can even pray for that, but I want you to pay attention to me. You can't give them that baton if you don't have it yourself.
Right.
You preach to your kids all you want to about how they need to love the Lord and obey His commandments and all that good stuff, but if you don't love the Lord and you don't live for Him, they're not going to. It's like the old boy was trying to tell his son he needed not to ever smoke. He always told his son that he didn't need to smoke, and he always did it with a cigarette in his hand. Son, don't ever start smoking these things, they'll kill you. How effective do you think that was? Listen, these kids, they can smell a liar a mile away. You know why parents of 3- and 4-year-olds are so nervous when their kids get around other people? Because their kids know and see everything that you do. And they like to tell everybody they meet. Amen? One of my kids' favorite stories to tell anybody they meet is about the time we were on our way on vacation to Branson and we got stopped by a highway patrolman on the way. That's one of their favorite stories. That's one of my least favorite stories for them to tell. Why? Because they know. They know who we really are. I want to challenge you this morning. We need to pass that baton on to the next generation. You can't pass it on if you don't have it. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart? Are you living for Him? We're going to get ready for an invitation this morning. While they come, I want to invite you to stand with me if you would. Israel, serve the Lord all the days of Joshua. Calvary, serve the Lord all the days of the revival meeting. Is that going to be it? Or has God really done a work in our lives that's going to last? Be inspired by leadership, but not necessarily mine or the evangelist. If we've done our job, you're following Jesus. Be motivated by fellowship. Listen, we help one another. We work together. And when somebody falls down, we don't ridicule them and gossip about them. We help them up. We keep moving forward for Christ, encouraging one another in the work of the Lord. Be motivated by that fellowship. Well, listen, friends, we can't stop the race. We've got to keep running the race. We've got a great work to do for the Lord. Consider His workmanship. Consider what Jesus Christ has done in your life. Be constrained by His love for you. If He's convicting your heart about anything this morning, I invite you to come and take up that baton. I want to invite you to come and ask God to help you to pass that baton on to the next generation. And by the grace of God, Calvary not only will have the doors open and the lights on when Jesus comes back, but we will be growing, we will be thriving. We will be seeing Him do greater works in this church up until the time He comes to take us home. If there's anything you need to get right, would you come while we sing?
Page 577. 577.